This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Souk, by the way, podcast. Brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Cute.
All right, Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix. Where, sir, might you be for the Thanksgiving holiday?
David. I am 4 beers into Thanksgiving pre-funk down here in California.
Where are you? Where exactly?
Humboldt.
Oh, Northern California?
Northern, not Central California, which a lot of people refer to as Northern California, like right. San Francisco and Sacramento. No, that's Central California. Northern California, people have bumper stickers that say, get the U.S. out of Humboldt County.
Yeah, I think we've all driven through there, right, on our way to Central California. Now, do you have family there? What are you doing there?
Yeah. No, this is actually where I grew up. I'm in the bedroom where I was, wow. 50 years ago, a little kid.
Mama and Papa Bartu still down there.
Yeah, they are. They got a house up in Eastern Washington too, but they come down here for the holidays. And here's kind of a little side story, because I'm sure there's people listening right now, okay, that at some point in their life, they lost connectivity with a really good friend or a family member. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been down here in 14 years. I haven't been invited. My brother and I got into something, I'm not even sure what, but we didn't talk for over a decade.
No, boy.
And for everybody out there that's listening right now that has been in a situation where there's a little bit of sadness, even every day when they think about, hey, I've lost somebody and I wish I could reconnect. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I'll give you hope, because my brother and I hugged yesterday and we've been talking all day today. And it's one of the best days of my life.
I love it. Dave, congrats. That's great, buddy. You got to bury the hatchet, you know?
You do?
All right. Well, can we talk college football or...
We can go off the slightly emotional stuff.
I love it.
And go on to the civil skirmish.
The civil skirmish. That's what we're calling it now. You got Oregon big?
Yeah. I mean, it was a civil skirmish until Herbert came back. You know, and like we talked about last week, Herbert back. Look, you got a defense going into that game that was top 25 in yards per rush given up, top 25 in yards per pass given up. As long as the offense wasn't turning the ball over on the plus side of the 50, and you look at Arizona's defense, 106th in the country coming into that game. I mean, even the final score wasn't aided them. And you go into this football game, I think Oregon is a top 25 team. They're a top 15 offense with Herbert, probably top 10 offense with Herbert. And you have an Oregon State defense that is 127th this year in scoring efficiency on defense. It's a 21-point spread?
It's like 26 now.
It's just fugly.
Yeah.
It just is. You know, so I thought it was going to be a really close game. Oregon would win with Burmeister. Now, with Herbert in charge and a healthy Oregon and Oregon State in the middle of a coaching search, which – I hope goes the right direction. It shouldn't be a pretty game at all.
What about the Apple Cup? Who you got? The Cougs are, what, 10-point underdogs, I think.
I can't believe they're that big of underdogs. But at the same time, I mean, let's look at what, Matrix is about. Coaching. I call the coaching pretty even here. I love Mike Leach and I love Peterson. Okay, they're both really good coaches. We don't have to throw either one under the bus here. But you look at the talent, Washington has way more talent. You look at the offensive scoring efficiency in favor of Washington. Defensive scoring efficiency, strongly in favor of Washington. Everything really points to the Huskies winning this football game. But you know something? I mean, is there somebody in the country that gets less credit than Mike Leach?
I agree with you.
You know, first Texas Tech, and I'll even admit, at Texas Tech, I thought maybe some of it was a little witchcraft, some bad Big 12 scheduling, some weak non-conference scheduling, but it was still solid coach effect. I didn't think he'd be able to do this at Washington State. Not only is recruiting better, the team is consistently there. I'm amazed he's not one of the names on the list for like Tennessee or UCLA.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I think that all this talk about Dan Mullen cracks me up. I think Leach is better than Dan Mullen. He's just kind of weird, and he gets dismissed because
he's...
His ceiling
is higher, isn't it? His ceiling is higher. We can agree with that, okay? Dan Mullen is a really good risk for an athletic director because he doesn't have a low floor. He's got a really high floor, so he's not going to make anybody look bad. But what has he done extraordinary? You know, he got him into the top five. He's done some really, really good things. But I think Mike Leach is good enough with super talent. You know, you got to remember, Texas Tech, not even top 50 talent. Washington State, he started with talent in the 50s and 60s. Now it's in the high 40s. But Mullen's at least had top 25 talent his entire time there. And so I think with Mike Leach, you have a really high ceiling. I don't think you have a national championship kind of guy. But I don't think Tennessee or UCLA is a national championship kind of program. That's where a guy like him, I mean, and maybe I'm being selfish here. Maybe I'm being really selfish, but there's two guys in college football I'd love to see with top 15 talent once in their career for like 4 years,
mm-hmm.
Mike Leach and Bobby Petrino.
Yeah, Petrino's an interesting one too. That's a good point. Daybar 2, College Football Matrix. How close is this Auburn-Alabama game to you? What do you see there?
Well, look, I mean, the spread right now, I think this morning was sitting at 5. And if you look at these two teams, you look at Alabama from their offensive scoring efficiency and defensive the last 4 weeks, they're number 2 in the country in offense, number 2 in the country in defense. Auburn is number 22 and number 33. Okay, so that pans out to a 31-23 football game, but your typical home field advantage in college football is about 3.5 points. So you're talking 31-26.5. That's 4.5 points. The line's sitting at 5. I think the 5 is right in the middle. If you're going to bet Auburn, I think you need a touchdown or more. If you're going to bet Alabama, I'd like to be giving up a field goal or less. So if you're sitting there thinking about betting it, I would wait until tomorrow morning to see if there's any late line movement. But I would not want to be stuck in the middle between that 7 and 3.
Well, and that game too is until that game is until Saturday. But if you have 2-loss Auburn, 2-loss Ohio State, and they're conference champs, I'm assuming Auburn is in, Ohio State is not. Is that how you see it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because you look at the quality wins, you look at the top 25 wins, you look at the strength of schedule. Auburn has everything in their favor, everything in their favor in terms of that. So, you know, Ohio State, you know, look, they're right where they're supposed to be, but they lost at home to Oklahoma. You know, they just don't have the quality win and top 25 win profile. Now, they are the number 4 scoring offense in college football right now, behind Oklahoma, UCF, and Alabama. So they were a really, really good team in terms of that. But I think they have to have a lot of dominoes and a lot of help to get into the playoff right now.
How do you – I mean, I know we're not there yet, but the Clemson-Miami game, how do you see that going? Because that's a key one in the college football playoff race.
Oh, this one's brilliant. And because – you look at these two teams, and they are the polar opposites of each other. Okay, Clemson, this is a huge bet right now. I don't even care what the line is. Bet the under.
Really?
Okay, just bet the under. Because year-to-date, you have the number 35 offense in Clemson versus my 21 offense in Miami. This is through last week, right?
Okay.
On defense, you have number 1 versus number 4 on defense. This is a huge defensive lean. And if you look at the last 4 weeks, it's number 6 defense and number 17 defense versus 2F offenses barely in the top 30.
Mm.
So I think it's a huge defensive matchup. Right now, neutral field, I got a 25.1 to 23.3 in favor of Clemson.
All right. Now, why all this talk of Willie Taggart wanting out of Oregon? I saw that you tweeted about this, and I thought it was a good tweet. It's like, I think, what'd you say, something of to the effect of, I don't know which is more ridiculous, one, that Taggart wants out, or two, that he's done anything to be coveted elsewhere.
Look, you know I've hammered Taggart, okay? I have hammered that guy. Before he was hired at Oregon, he's a B-plus recruiter. He's a D-minus coordinator and a head coach. He did a terrible job at the last 2 places in 8 years. Now people say, oh, he turned them around. South Florida was the number 1 recruiter in their conference the entire time he was there. They were Boise, they were Alabama, they were USC, they were Ohio State. I mean, they were Oklahoma. They shouldn't have been that bad except for 1 year. So now, granted, Oregon hired him. Okay, you made that decision. So, in my opinion, is he hasn't done enough at Oregon to warrant being looked at for a better job, number one. And number two, it's a really good job.
Right.
Why would he be looking around?
I know.
How can, you know, if I'm Oregon fan, which I am, look, take my Matrix hat off, which hates everybody. Look, season ticket holder, I'm an alum. You know, I mean, if this guy's actually looking around at other jobs, I'm pissed. Totally pissed. Because this is a program that's been to two national championship games this century. How many other programs can say that? And he's out looking for another job? Dude, that cannot be happening.
Yeah,
can't be happening.
I don't think it is. I really don't. I don't buy those reports. But you know what? You never know. Behind closed doors, you never know if he's happy, unhappy, whatever. But have we asked you who you think the Beavers should hire yet? Have we talked about that yet?
Ooh, we haven't. Now, and I can actually talk about that job because they haven't asked me for any oversight on that. A lot of the jobs I do is you have programs like an Oregon State with a search committee, but we act as oversight. We look at all the people they recommend and also recommend people that maybe aren't on their list. Okay, so throw some guys at me. Who have you been hearing? I'll give you just a straight-up opinion on anybody that you've heard them talk about, and I might even throw in somebody that you guys should be considering.
Bo Baldwin.
Okay. So awesome at Eastern Washington. Really don't have any numbers on that because it doesn't have the data that you find on the NCAA FBS level. But he was awesome at Eastern Washington. At Cal, he's done an exceptional job with the offense and turning that around. I still say it's a really high risk because I'd like to see him have another year or two at Cal before you made that decision that this is the kind of guy that can run a P5 offense.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I think, you know, he might be a great fallback position for somebody if other guys turn him down.
Jonathan Smith.
Washington?
Yeah.
I'd rather, if you're going to take a coordinator from Washington, take the defensive coordinator. He's the best in the West Coast, maybe the best in the country.
Yeah, nobody ever talks about that guy.
Yeah, why wouldn't you talk about Kajkowski? I mean, that was, you know, when Helfrich was out looking for a defensive coordinator, I'm like, back the truck up, dude. Take a pay cut. Give him $2 million a year. Get that guy. Do anything you can. And look what he's done. They lost, what, five? They're a mid-30s recruiter. They lost five guys to the NFL, and they're still top five in the country in defense right now. It's ridiculous.
Now, who would you throw in there?
Who would I throw in there? Okay. Well, I told you, Leavitt. Go get Leavitt. A lot of Oregon boosters wanted Leavitt. Kansas State wants Leavitt. Why not go get that guy? Okay, he's proven head coach. Look what he just did on defense. He's turned Oregon's defense around 180 degrees. Go get him. He's making, what, 1.3 at Oregon? Bring him over to Oregon State for 2.9, $3 million a year. I think that's a great hire. One guy nobody's talked about, okay? And we talked about Nui Matalolo on the triple option before. I think that would be very different, very good for Oregon State. Mm-hmm. But we were going through our numbers, and there was one guy that popped up a couple times that nobody has talked about. Okay, this is a guy that is power offense, runs it slow, keeps games close, improved the recruiting significantly at his last stop, was a plus coach effect guy. Now, he did get fired from his last job, and none of us on my staff could believe it because he did such a good job at Minnesota. Tracy Clays is somebody that you get at Oregon State that I think would fit great for the kind of offense and defense people want to run out of their head coach.
Good stuff. Hey, thanks, Dave. Enjoy the time down there, and I'm glad you reconnected with your bro.
It was cool, and I hope anybody listening, I hope that gave them a little bit of hope that if they're feeling bad about it, sometimes we just got to, even though we're scared, we're always scared at a certain age, you got to go try to do something. So it did work out for me, and I appreciate that, but I hope it helps somebody else this Thanksgiving. Take it easy, buddy.
See you later. Dave Bart, too. You gotta love Bart.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.